First John, the first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John. Today's message is living in the kingdom light. And as you're turning there, we have been talking about the kingdom. We've been talking about the king. We have been talking about how it functions, what its purpose was, the warfare that came about, where we are today. And now we are going to learn some nuts and bolts about how to be kingdom people. Amen? It's very important that God's people understand that this is not just a religious activity. This is an activity of which we get excited because we're visiting with our Father. Some of us don't realize that it's a visitation of our Father because our Father is with us right now. It's just that we don't realize it because we allow the enemy to take away from us even before we come into the presence of God. So let's read 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. And this is the message he has given to us to announce to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. I want us to understand that there are three key words in these three verses. Light, darkness, children. And I mean, I could exegize these scriptures for weeks and really give you deep spiritual truths, but the object here is to get us to start understanding about some simple facts of what Christ has done for us, what the enemy wants to do to us, and how we are willing participants in this endeavor. Prophetically and symbolically, darkness speaks of what? We've touched on this. What is darkness? Evil. What else? Sin, which is evil. Ignorance, primarily. Darkness is ignorance. And what happens is we don't realize how ignorant we are. Especially when it comes to the Spirit of God, His presence, and what He wants of us. And how to be in His presence all the time. God's presence is with us right now. We can't see Him because we are ignorant, or our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are dark to that reality, right? That's the truth. We can't see God, but that does not negate the fact that He is. We can't see Satan, but that does not negate the fact that he is too. And then in darkness, what happens, and this is a real curious type of thing, when you're in a dark room, you can't tell what's in that room if you're unfamiliar with that room, right? You can't tell what's good, what's bad, what's ugly, what's pretty, what's safe, what's unsafe. All of it together is the same. If we take that simple reality and we apply it to the truth of God's Word, then what happens is, as we are walking in darkness, we are unaware of what is good, what is evil, because whatever we put our hand to, we can't discern what it is. Correct? And so Satan's job now, because he has been unsuccessful in keeping you from becoming children of God, which you are and I am, is now to keep us walking in darkness. Keep us sinning. Keep us from having the life of God permeate us and radiate from us. That's not going to happen for much longer. You should say hallelujah. Because, as I said to you before, as the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in and our understanding is enlightened, more of the presence of God will emanate from us. And you've heard me tell the stories of Smith Wigglesworth, John Lake, and the Azusa Street revival, and how some of those revivals have carried over today. But this revival that is coming, that we are going to be a part of, is not going to be just what I call an oasis revival. This is going to be a tsunami revival that will run its course around the world, and then the end will come. We should say hallelujah, because we're almost out of here. We're almost out of here. Satan does not want you, and he definitely does not want me, to articulate to you the importance of coming out of darkness and staying out of darkness. What we do is we tend to want to fence sit, you know. We're over there, this is not too bad. You know, and we pick and choose, thinking that our lives are going to somehow sustain some sort of spirituality to it. But the reality of it is all we have to do is look at our lives and see where we are. And we can see who we've been listening to. Because if our lives are not reflecting more of the light of Jesus Christ, and we're not in His presence each and every day, then it reflects the kingdom of darkness more and more. And that's why I say, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. You really can't. What happens is, you know, Sundays are the most worst days for a Christian. I don't care how you want to write it, it's the worst day. If the kids aren't feeling well, they're throwing up, you know, you have a discussion, and the next thing you know, this discussion turns into Third World War, you know, or you have a flat tire, or, you know, I just can't get out of bed. You know, this is all darkness, because we're not staying in the presence of God. And one thing leads to another, and what happens is Satan wants us to focus our attention on each other, when really we should be focusing past what's going on and saying, what is causing this? What is causing me to be in distress? What is this that is coming forth that is not of God? First of all, I'm not in the presence of God. Did I sit before the Lord and did I absorb some of His life into me? Or did I just like, man, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. And all of us are the latter. Man, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. We're all there, right? And Satan wants us there. He wants to keep, he don't care if you're saved. He don't care. What he cares about is you becoming a child of the light that threatens His kingdom. And this is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came not to just save us. Jesus came to invade this world, this planet, to bring it under the authority and kingship of heaven again. And all of us that have named the name of Jesus Christ have submitted ourselves with conditions to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And of course, we have found that with those conditions, we fail miserably in our Christian walk. What I say to you today is cut those conditions off. A ship can't sail into the ocean if it's still moored to the pier. It's a condition. We cannot get our boats into the river of life if we are still having conditions that are keeping us moored to the pier. It's either all or nothing, but there is not some halfway between. Jesus told us in Revelations, He says, you know, I wish you were hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because I'll spit you out of my mouth. It's an offense for us to Him to negotiate that we can somehow stand in the middle and live a life that's contrary to the Scriptures. And understand that this Scripture here that John is getting us to, is to understand that there were many false teachers in that day, many false prophets in that day, that was telling the people, it's okay to live the life. God's grace is more sufficient for you. It's okay to be in sin, because after all, God's going to destroy the body, and He's going to give you a glorified body. How many of us have heard these teachings? How many of us have believed it? It's not a greasy grace. God's grace is given to propel us, enable us to become that which He has created us to be, and that is dominion keepers. We have dominion, Satan does not. But dominion starts with you and your mind getting right while in the presence of God. That's why I'm saying that this message is about being in kingdom light. Satan wants to keep us in his darkness. He then wants, if he can keep us in darkness, he wants to take advantage of us. And he does every time. How many times when we get angry or bent out of shape, we revert back to our carnal or natural estate? Every time. But yet we want to call ourselves Christians. And God says, you know what? You're doing this because you're trying to do it in your strength. You're not staying in my presence and allow me to change you. Amen. Amen. And so what we have here is we have a church, and I'm talking worldwide, not here, but worldwide, we have a church where the Spirit of God is leaving segments of the church, like in Europe and in America. I don't care how you cut it, we are not a Christian nation, not when less than 40% of us are actually practicing our faith. We can't call ourselves a Christian nation just because we have a Christian in the presidency. And we can't call ourselves a Christian nation just because we have a Christian who's running for the office of presidency, but is not kingdom-minded. Church, we need to be very, very careful about how we perceive ourselves and understand the spiritual realm that's going on around us. I had said to a man one day, he was in sin, and I said to him, I said, you know, you're opening up a door that you cannot close. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you are opening up a door of rebellion which God hates and will punish because it's a sin of witchcraft. And because of that door being open that you are propagating, you have not submitted yourself to the authorities. You've not said, you know what? I'm moving out of this movement into something that God is telling me to do. You have preached the gospel of rebellion and you want to lead a bunch of people into this rebellion. You are in sin. And of which that sin closed his ministry down in a very short time. Church, it's important that we spend time not only in the Word of God, but understand that when we are in the Word of God, we are standing in the presence of God. God is here right now. And He wants us to understand that whatever it is that we need, His presence, who He is, will eliminate that for us. He will take us through those things. He will not cause us to circumvent them. He will not cause us to retreat from them. He calls us overcomers, which means He will take us through them and we will rule and have dominion over them. Amen. Amen. Darkness also symbolizes pain, distress, and sorrow without any hope. Has anybody ever been in a place where it was so dark that you were like despondent? I mean, depression was on you. I mean, I'm talking about physically, being in a place that was so dark. Not saying that, you know, your soul was in a dark area. We were traveling down in North Carolina. We were going to this camp called Camp Fontaine. And we were going up this mountain. There was no lights. And I'm telling you, it was so dark that I felt scared. I felt really afraid. And there are places in the spirit realm that is so dark that if you do not have the presence of God with you, you will be overwhelmed with fear, despondency, depression. You will be. These are actual spirits that come and attack you for that. We need the Spirit of God because we need His light. If God is light, this is my logic. If God is light, and the Word of God is God, which is Jesus, He's the Word, He's God. He's light. And if I read His Word, which enlightens me, then I can take what the Psalm says. The Psalm says, Thy Word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. What does that say? It says that God will enlighten me so I can see what I'm doing right now, what's going on in my circumstances. And not only will He expose that which is around me, He will also lead me in the path that I need to go and shine forth all the snares and traps that the enemy has put before me so I do not become successful. Believe me, I didn't get this wisdom because I took the Word. I got this wisdom because I was stupid and I walked in darkness. What is that? What is that? Oh, it's that. Ooh, okay. See, this is not an exercise to be religious. It's an exercise to present yourself acceptable to God. God wants you to be in His Word because He wants you not to walk in darkness any longer. He wants to expose those things that we think is right and good for what they are. They're evil and bad. God doesn't... If God is light, and we're going to talk about that in a second, about light, He doesn't want to hold anything back. He wants to expose what the enemy does. We don't come to the light. Why? Why don't we come into the presence of God? Because we don't want God to see our sin. Well, let me tell you something. He already knows about it, so come into the light. Because then He wants to heal us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he says to me, he says, Gary, you know, your temper's got to go. And I'm like, but God, you know, you don't understand. These people are really, you know, it doesn't matter. I love them. And you can't love them the way I love them if you are in this state of mind. And it's like I've learned to start agreeing with God. You know, because when I don't, I go around the mountain. You know, and I don't like going around the mountain. So I'm learning to agree with Him that He's right. As long as I maintain anger or some sort of distress within my spirit, I can't hear from God. I can't have His presence wash over me. And I don't sense His reality, the truth of who He is, within me or around me. And so that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep me walking in darkness so I can't continue walking in the light and doing what it is that God wants done. And as I said, you know, the kingdom of God, there is a plan to bring this world under subjection to His authority and His dominion. But He has designed it so that man would come back to rule and reign with God. And we see that in Revelation, that will happen. It is coming, church. And I would rather be there than say, you know what, God, I lived my life the way I thought it was good. But what did You do with my Word? It doesn't matter. You know, my teacher said that it was okay for me to live my life in sin. Because after all, Your grace is sufficient for me. Well, if you read the Bible and you know that Hebrews says that for us to tread upon to continue in the sin that God has addressed, it's for us to tread upon the blood of Christ. And then there's no salvation. We have to be really careful here. This once saved, always saved garbage is exactly what it is. You're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. And we have to really see that. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is predicated on us spending time with Him. I know the Bakers, they won't admit it, but they miss Mom. You know, I asked the girls, I said, are you glad Mom's home? She says, but I know down deep inside they missed you. You know? God misses His time with His kids. He misses His time with you. He misses His time in talking to you, telling you what His plans are for you. He misses telling you to keep you out of harm's way. He misses telling you how much He loves you and appreciates you. He misses telling you that what the enemy meant for evil, He's going to turn it around and make it work for your good. Whatever things that the enemy has stolen from you, you're going to have brothers and sisters that are going to help you win the battle and take it back. He's going to help you become the head and no longer the tail. He's going to do this, but He requires something of us. And that is to be with Him in His presence. Because church, we're going to be with Him forever and ever. There's not going to be any more time. We're not going to get our time excess. All right, you know, we got to be out of this building in 15 minutes. Amen. We're not going to have that anymore. We're going to spend time with them. Why is it so destructive? Well, 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are the children of God and that the world around us is under the power and control of the evil one. We know that the world is wicked. We know that all these things are in there. But the reason why it's wicked is because it is designed by Satan to keep us from becoming who we are in Jesus Christ. And the problem in it is we like what the world offers us. We like it. We like all the gadgetry. We like all the stuff. But who can tell me why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? What was the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah is exempting Holly? Because I gave her the answer. Oppressed people. Scripture didn't say that, but I'll take that as a partial answer. What else? Hedonism. That's a very good one. But what caused the hedonism? Well, sin was always around. Why the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed was not for the sexual perversion that destroyed them and the blatant homosexuality. What destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was they forgot God because they became prosperous. Look at this nation that we live in, the most prosperous nation in the world ever in history. And the truth of the matter is we are $58 trillion in debt. $58 trillion in debt. The government is telling you that it's only $7 trillion in debt. How can you be prosperous when you owe somebody money or owe them? Eventually, the payment's going to come due, and when you don't have the funds to pay, guess what? You don't play anymore. You become a slave. And the indebtedness that this nation has put itself in to prop up a false prosperity will reduce us, or God will reduce us, to less than a third world nation. And we think we've got the answers. There will be a lot of pain. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to be the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Church, we should really fully understand that Satan is selling us a bill of goods that is worthless. Remember the story I told about S.A. Tan, the auto mechanic? Remember? No free parts or labor, and it's not guaranteed. Okay? That's the kind of stuff that we're buying, you know. When we chalk up our spiritual life to the materialism and the falsehood of what the world is presenting us. Everybody wanted to be like Britney Spears. How many wants to be like her now? The girl has gone bonkers. And you know, seeing how the paparazzi have run after her, I would be nuts too. No privacy, and the kind of privacy you got is drives you into insanity. I really feel sorry for her. How many of us wish that we had $1 trillion? And you heard me tell the story last week about that $1 trillion, how you can access that in Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you to do that. Because you see, what we will do, as James says, we spend it on our own selves, not for the purpose of the kingdom. Moses said that, you know, God gave us the power to create wealth for the purpose of establishing our kingdom, right? No, it was for establishing his kingdom. See, there's a plan that God has for us, and what we do is we misappropriate his funds that he gives to us, thinking that it's okay. Thinking that it's all right to rob God. Thinking it's all right to steal from God. Thinking it's okay to cause God to be trivialized and not important. It's okay, you know, because after all, God understands me. He understands my heart. Yeah, he tells me in Jeremiah 7 that it's wicked. Who can know it? And Satan keys on our ignorance. He keys on it. I'm under the gun. Yes. We're trying to implement something where I'm getting help to try to keep a message to 30 minutes, and I'm not going to be successful. But we will end in 30 minutes. Amen, amen. I don't take that as something bad. I take it as something good. Because I'm standing in the presence of Almighty God and His family to help me become successful. Amen. Amen. The second word is children. What does that word bring up to you? It talks about our innocence and our insecurities and the need to test the boundaries, to learn. Satan takes advantage of the children of God because Jesus said, you know, I wish you were as smart as the children of men. He wished that we were. But we are so stupid. Jesus says, give and it'll be given unto you. We say, give it to me first and maybe I'll give it to you. But I'm going to put it to you. Jesus says, you know, love your brother as you love yourself. And yet we won't lift a hand to help somebody along the way. Because after all, you know, I'm just too busy. Satan says in my head, you know, that person's okay. That person's all right. You know, don't worry about it. It should be fine. Or when you call a pastor, what do I do? Hey, can we get together? I know you got an emergency, but can we get together a week from Friday? Your emergency's now. And everybody knows that I'm making fun of other pastors, not me. But I'm a pastor, and I try not to. Satan would say, don't call pastor, he's too busy. So we don't call. After all, he's just too busy. He just doesn't have time for me. And how many times you hear me say, I'm not too busy for you. I'm not. I'll stop what I'm doing for you. My job is to help you in your relationship to Jesus Christ. If you don't want the help, I can't help you. My job is to help you through the struggles of your life, to give you the principles to help build your life in a way that glorifies God. If you don't want those principles, I can't help you. But the longer we keep listening to Satan and staying in the darkness and not walking into the marvelous presence of Almighty God, we are children at best. And God is not coming back for a child bride. He's not. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, which tells me that she's mature and she understands how to bask in the glory of God. Now I'm down to 2 minutes. It ain't happening. I'm not going to make the third word. I'll try. God does not want us to be ignorant as children. He wants us to be educated. He wants us to have all wisdom. Doesn't the word say, ask of God to give you wisdom and He will give it to you liberally? In other words, freely He'll give it to you. He'll tell you. Ephesians tells us, pray that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's one thing to have revelation, but if you don't know what to do with it, you're still in darkness. How many of us have heard God or thought we've heard God, and yet, God, I feel like I'm on a TV show. That'll cut me off. How many of us have thought we've heard God, and we've said, God has said this, and we're in the toilet? See, you needed me to come up here and encourage you. See, we're all standing in the light. Let's expose it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Satan will use us to beat up each other. Oh, Nikki, you're a sin. Oh, you got to get your act right. Well, I got three fingers pointing back to me. I got three times as much work than you. And if you come back next week, I'll tell you how to walk in the light. I'll tell you how to walk in the light. Save Jesus. We got the countdown going. Now I want seconds now. Church, I just want you to understand, God has a tremendous plan for us. But if we don't learn how to stand in the light, Ephesians tells us, if you know that you've done all that you know to do, stand. Let the storm blow past. Don't do anything. Because the more we try to help our situation, the worse it gets. God has a plan for us. He needs to send a man or a woman of God to you, or you come to them to help you eradicate the disease and the sickness of our ignorance, to at least bask in the Word and allow His presence to calm us and be that which He's called us to be. Amen? And next week, I'll preach the same message, only I'll abbreviate the front and go to the end about how to walk in the light. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You, Lord God. I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, God. I thank You, God, that we now have a team that is going to keep me accountable. And I need it, God. I need it. God, I thank You for them. I thank You for each one here today, God. And may their hearts be stirred to want to hear what the truth is and how to appropriate and be in Your presence, God. God, kindle the desire in our hearts to ever be in Your presence all the time, 24/7, God. It doesn't matter what the world's saying. It doesn't matter what the world is doing, God. All that matters is that we be doing what You tell us to do, God. And You tell us to love one another and to love You, God. So, Father, help us to be overcomers, that we would glorify You and that we would learn not only to come into light but stay in Your light. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.